Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. This is our third installment of gratitude. What a life full of thanks can really do. There are people that have not talked to God all year long that will talk to Him tomorrow for 15 seconds before they dig into that fried turkey, baked turkey, barbecue turkey. Let's have a show of hands. How many of you are doing the traditional baked turkey? Raise your hand. You better be good. That one's a tough one. How many of you are barbecuing one? How many of you are deep frying one? You are my people. Praise God. How many of you are just going to go buy one? Just raise your hand and let somebody else cook it. You are my people too. Praise God. But tomorrow, as we sit down at the table, it's a custom at my in-laws' house. I'm going to my in-laws tomorrow that we go around the table and we say something that we're thankful for. That's dangerous when you give the preacher time before the meal like that. Because when I start thanking God, it's a long list. Because I remember what I was before Christ, and I remember what I am after Christ, and I get excited about what God has done. And then my faith grows in that moment. I start thinking about what God has promised that has not yet come to pass. And then I get to thanking God for what things haven't even transpired and manifested in our lives. And so we go around the table. I know that's a custom at a lot of places, and even if that's not the custom, people, their attention will be drawn to the things in their life that they're thankful for. There are unbelievers that will still be operating in the spirit of gratitude tomorrow. But that gratitude that we're talking about, and the gratitude when we say in all things, in everything give thanks, that is based and that is founded on our relationship with Jesus Christ. I say this often, and I will say it because I need to be reminded of it daily, because I am flesh, that every good thing that I am is because of Jesus. Every good thing that I have is because of Jesus. And so I am very purposeful and with intent do I give God the credit for all the good things in my life. In this series, the last 2 weeks, we've talked about what gratitude is, position versus posture last week, and we ended talking about place versus presence. We talked about Psalm 22, verse 3, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabits the praises of Israel. That word in the Hebrew inhabit is yeshav, which means that God sits down in the middle of thanksgiving and praise. That He sits down and He remains in the spirit, in the middle of the spirit of gratitude and praise, that He stays. I want God to stay in my life. I don't want my life to be a roller coaster where it peaks on Wednesday nights at 7:15 and it peaks on Sunday mornings, but then it is a downhill trek the rest of the time. I want God to stay in my life. I want God to stay in my life not because I enjoy His company only, but I want Him to stay in my life because when God is in me and with me, the enemy cannot stay. Remember that the enemy and God's presence cannot coexist in the same place. So where the Spirit of the Lord is, that's why they would say there is liberty, there is freedom. And so I want God to remain and stay. It means to set in one place. All of God shows up at one time and in one place. Isn't that an awesome revelation that God does not send someone else as His representative, but He says, when you praise, when you offer thanksgiving, when you live a life of gratitude, I myself, Jehovah God of the Old Testament, Jesus of the New Testament, the Holy Spirit in the upper room, He said, I come with all that I am to one place. Then the Bible says, Yeshav, inhabit means to, or means an abode, a place of residence, a place for God to dwell. Remember the New Testament, Paul writes and tells us, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, that God literally resides in us. That means wherever we go, He goes. But the only way that He can reside in us is if we live a life of thanksgiving, praise, and gratitude. And it also means, Yeshav means to, or means that He is establishing, that God is moving in. And when God moves into your life, everything changes. When God moves into your life, your decision making, your discernment, praise God, the words you speak, your body language, everything about you changes. Somebody say amen. So in talking about place versus presence, to finish that thought and that point, we went to John chapter 4 where Jesus is talking to the Samaritan woman, and the Samaritan woman had a good history on where they were to worship and how they were supposed to approach God. And she talked about praising God and worshiping God in Jerusalem, which is a city, but also on the mountaintop. And she gave distinct places where they would worship. But Jesus said, the time is coming. And then he backed up and he said, actually, now is the time that true worshipers will worship my Father in spirit and in truth. That we must worship and praise God in a spiritual way because God is a spirit. And so I'm come to encourage you yet again tonight that your gratitude has to be able to outlive Living Way Church and this campus. That your praise has to go beyond your three or four favorite singers and your three or four favorite songs. Your worship is bigger than Sunday, Living Way. Your worship is bigger than Wednesday night. And yes, your thanksgiving and gratitude is bigger than the month called November. That is why David would write in the 150th Psalm, praise ye the Lord. That is a command, it is not a suggestion. The woke crowd and the woke and progressive Christians would like you to think that the Word of God is filled with God's suggestions. But the Word of God is not filled with suggestions. The Word of God is filled with commandments. I like commandments because with every command, there is a promise attached to this. And when God says, when you do this, this is what I'm going to do. Praise ye the Lord. 30 minutes ago, when this team, which knocked it out of the park tonight, and I felt the Holy Spirit just jump in this place and was jumping in me, when they began to praise and worship, about half of the building got involved with them. By the second song, about 75% of the building, and by the end of worship, almost everyone in here was at least thinking about God, hands raised, voice uplifted. But there were a few that were mistaken, and you thought this was a concert, but there's no such thing as a free concert. This was not a concert, and it wasn't for you. If it's not for you, it means you can't stand there and watch them. It is for an audience of one, and his name is Jesus. That's why when we come in this place, I'm going to praise God. I'm going to worship God, no matter the song, no matter the singer, no matter how I feel. This is what David said, praise God in his sanctuary. We've gotten very good at that. Praise him in the firmament of his power that is outside of the four walls of the church. Your praise should not have a drop off by day, time, or location. If you are a praiser here on Sundays, you ought to be a praiser here on Fridays. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise me in my sanctuary, he said. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. That's what praise is. God, what you've done in my life is so amazing. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Now we shift to worship. We first praised him for what he did, but now we worship him for who he is. Doesn't matter what you've done. God, I've got gratitude that the God of the universe wants to have a relationship with me. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise him with the tambourine and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals, upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. I live out in the country, and every night I can hear the coyotes howl. And about two or three times a day, on down the road, half a mile or so, I can hear a donkey. I don't know what God was thinking when he gave the donkey that sound, but I'm reminded that the donkey can't clap. I'm reminded that the donkey can't dance, but I'm also reminded that the donkey was created by God. And every time that he opens up his mouth and lets out that weird sound, it's a praise to God, because it reminds me that God created me and he put this breath. Now, if the donkey can praise, why can't we praise? If the trees can sway and their branches can move, why can't we do the same? Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Your gratitude and our gratitude, church, does something for God. Realize that when you open up your mouth and you sing hallelujah, when you say thank you, Jesus, it has an effect on God. It is just beyond my mind to think that little old me in San Antonio, Texas, that when I begin to praise God and have gratitude in my life, that it literally has an effect on the God that created everything, but it does. Gratitude does something for God, but it also does something for the believer. Let's go to the 34th Psalm, verses 1 through 9 is where we will spend most of our time tonight. David said, the King James says it like this, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. NIV reads it like this, I will extol, which means to praise God. I will extol or bless the Lord at all times. Somebody say at all times. Do you know what the word all means in Hebrew? If you're taking notes, write this down. All means all. Powerful, I know. Went to the Greek. Is there more to it? What does all mean in the Greek? It means all. Praise the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. Before we can even get back to all, let me say this. When you praise God, you bless God. Tonight we will end with the song Gratitude, and I would love for us as a family on Thanksgiving Eve for all of us to meet in this altar in just a few moments and end this night and end Thanksgiving Eve with all of us singing praises to God. But I love that word, the song Gratitude, it has that line that, hey, I don't have much. All I have is this song and all I have is these words, but they run out. But let me tell you what, your words and your praise, it blesses God. God, there's nothing I could give you that's going to bless you. But when I open up my mouth, when I operate in gratitude, when I praise in my worship, I literally bless the God that has everything. Bishop's a hard guy to shop for because he has everything. And if there's something he doesn't have, guess what he does? Buys it himself. So I have come to just give him cash and gift cards. Cash and gift cards. If you're looking for a good present for a bishop, it's cash and gift cards. He would never tell you that. I will help him tonight and tell you that. He has everything. He's got more tie. We could all be wearing ties tonight from his closet. We could all be wearing suits. Some of us, they would be a little snug on, but we could all be wearing his suit. He's got all of, what do you get him that has everything? So what can you offer God that has everything? And if he doesn't have it, he can create it. I was created. You were created to praise, to bless God, to give gratitude. And so every time you say, thank you, Jesus, you are literally giving God a gift that no one else can give him, because he created you. He created us, but we are all individuals. He created us to praise him. Every time I say hallelujah, every time you hit a knee, every time you raise your hand, you are blessing the God that has everything. But when you bless the God that has everything, what do you do when somebody gives you a gift? You know that you're loved, you're appreciated, you feel recognized, you feel honored. When you bless God, we bestow on him a gift that most of the population never gives him. But guess what? When you give that gift to God, he feels honored, he feels recognized, he feels good, he feels that you know exactly what he is doing in your life. Somebody say at all times. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises will always be on my lips. Talking about discipleship a lot going into the new year. Being able to show gratitude. If you're writing notes, please write this down. Being able to show gratitude in every season at all times is a sign of a mature believer. If the only time you praise God and operate in honor and gratitude is when God places something physically in your hands, you are a very childish and immature person, believer. in a few days when it is Christmas, I've gotten to the age where I appreciate gifts. I love the gifts that my family gives me. And I have not yet arrived at the place where Bishop is. I can give a list all day long. However, I've gotten to the age where all I need is the presence of my family. All I need is to be surrounded by people that I love and that love me back. My greatest present is to hear the laughter of my children and my family as we talk about old times and dream about new times. I am here to encourage somebody today that let that be your gratitude. Understand that, listen, in every season of life, you're not always going to have everything you need, but you're going to have everyone you need. Understand that sometimes you're going to be in the valley, but like David said, in the valley, God, you are with me. Doesn't matter. I could be in the hospital sick, but standing by my bed is God the healer. Praise God. I could have had the worst year of my life, but getting ready to go into a brand new year, Jesus is standing with me. A mature believer understands that he can be gracious and have gratitude in every season of life. It's what I call a been there and done that kind of faith. That I've been here, I've been there before, God's got me through it, I praised my way through it, my gratitude, my attitude did not change, been there and done that kind of praise. My praise is not a roller coaster. My praise and worship to God is the same as it always good, good, bad, or indifferent. When I've had the best week, I'm gonna come in here and praise God. When I've had the worst week, I'm gonna come in here and praise God. No matter who's president, I'm gonna come in here and praise God. No matter how I physically, I'm going to come in here and praise God. Psalm 37, verse 25, it illustrates that been there, done that kind of faith and praise, because David would say this in Psalm 37, I was young and now I'm old. Yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. David said, I've seen some things, but the one thing that has always been constant is God's presence has always been with me. He has always come through, not just in the nick of time, in his time. Maybe not when I wanted to, but he was never late. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises will always be on my lips. This is written at a time that was not great in David's life. David has fled the presence of Saul because Saul had been threatening him, and Saul was intimidated by David and what God was doing in David's life. And so there was rumors that Saul would kill David on sight. And so you know where David ran when all of this was happening? He ran to the camp of the Philistines in Gath. When he got there, he started faking that he was insane. He started acting crazy. The Bible says he foamed at the mouth and that spit was in his beard, and he was beating his head against the gate of the city. And he was doing that so people would think he's crazy and would not recognize him as David the Goliath killer back in the Philistine city. He was doing all of that, and he still, in the middle of this season of his life, said, I will bless the Lord at all times. They're trying to kill me. Sounds like a good time to praise God. They're trying to murder me. Sounds like a good time for me to operate in gratitude and honor everything that God has done in my life, and his praises will always be on my lips. Verse 2, I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. He said, in the middle of my misery, I will glory in the Lord so that the afflicted can hear and rejoice. Your gratitude, church, affects three people. Number one, it affects God. When you start praising God, we know that it affects him, because Psalm 22 says that when the praises of the people of God begin to happen, that God inhabits the praises of his people. So when you start shouting and praising and worshiping and praying, guess what? God shows up. You just had an impact on God. But your gratitude also impacts you. I don't know how many times I've been encouraged by what I heard coming out of my own mouth. That was a good place to say amen. You said, does that mean you talk to yourself? Talk to myself. I talk to myself, answer myself, argue with myself, preach to myself, give myself pep talks, rebuke myself, correct myself. When you praise God, you start reminding yourself. When I say you're a good God, not think it when I say it. My ears hear it. He is a good God. God, you have never let me down. You know what? Now that I come to think, he's never let me down. God, you've always been there, ever present. Yep, he has always. And now that I'm praising and my gratitude has left my mouth and has come right back into my ears. And that's why David would say, I can encourage myself in the Lord. But your gratitude affects a third party. Your gratitude affects whoever hears it. Being gracious and operating in honor and thanksgiving and gratitude will change your life and it will change the situation. People that hate gratitude and praise and don't like how you're saying it, what you're saying, and how you're acting, they're going to get out of your presence. But what's going to happen most of the time is that thing's going to become contagious. And the people that stay there, your gratitude is going to start turning into their gratitude. They're going to hear what you're saying about God, and they're going to say, wait a minute, God has never let you down? Well, God doesn't love you any more than he loves me. Are you saying that God's always been faithful? Are you saying that God showed up and delivered you, healed you? Are you saying that God saved you? And as I praise and as you offer gratitude and we begin to rehearse those things, everyone around us hears that. The ones that don't like it, leave. The ones that are intrigued by it, stay. And then I believe their voice starts matching our voice. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. I'm going to run through these real quick in the finality of tonight's message. Your gratitude affects the afflicted. Most of the people that you work with are afflicted in some way or some shape. They're afflicted internally, spiritually. They're afflicted financially. They're afflicted relationally. Their family is afflicted. So when you talk about how good God has been to you and your family, it has an impact on them. And the Bible says that when the afflicted hear it, they start rejoicing. You can literally turn somebody's life around with your praise, not to them, but when you brag on God and all he has done for you, their faith starts growing. Your gratitude affects the afflicted. Your gratitude becomes contagious. 2 weeks ago, I told you that Pastor Becky praises God all the time. Praises God for parking spots. Praises God for cancers healed. Praises God for every good thing that happens in her life. I've seen her praise God over a pretzel at Sonic. When you're praising God over a pretzel at Sonic, you've got a praise that most people don't have, because most of us hardly praise God at Ruth Chris. She's praising at Sonic. But I find myself at the end of the day when I sit down, thank you, Jesus. I find myself in the quiet moments of life when I've just gotten through a storm, thank you, Jesus. When I get a good phone call, thank you, Jesus. When I get a bad phone call, thank you, Lord, that you're with me and we're going to get through this together. It is contagious. It is contagious. My parents have taught me, and I've done it, and you've received one this week, most likely, or this month. I'm a thank you card writer, not a text, not a message on Facebook, an actual penned thank you card. If you do something for me, if you give something for me at some point, it's not going to be that week. It's going to be 3 or 4 weeks, but I'm going to get around and I'm going to write you a thank you card. It is going to be from my hand and my pen and my desk and my, and I have a friend, he said, oh, I'm going to do that. He said, you know, you can buy a machine that will mimic your signature. I said, that's terrible. The machine can't thank them. You thank them. And so I've taught my kids, thank people. They do any little thing for you. Gush about it. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for thinking about me. Thank you. You didn't have to do that, but you did. And I appreciate that. Even if it's just a Sonic pretzel, thank you so much. Praise God. Your gratitude is contagious. That is why your praise, church, has to be vocal. You can't just think it. Well, I'm going to think praise. No, you've got to open your mouth up and praise God. Gratitude doesn't just need to be felt. It needs to be heard. Why? Because God needs to hear it. You need to hear it. They need to hear it. And the people around you need to hear it. Number 3, glorify the Lord with me, David said. Remember, he's afflicted. He's having to feign insanity. People are trying to kill him. He's living with the enemy. And he says, glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Your gratitude. Here's another point. Your gratitude builds unity. I hope you were here Friday night. Friday night had a great time of worship together. What I loved about Friday night, and this makes a difference, man, everybody was down in this altar close. They were just here in this altar, the first two or three rows. We were all down here close for that whole hour, and we were worshiping together. And I could hear you worshiping, and you could hear me worshiping. I heard someone speaking in tongues. I heard someone crying. I heard someone laughing. It was great to be all together. In 2022, statistics say when people are looking for a church, no longer are they looking at children's programs. No longer are they looking at the building. No longer are they making decisions based on the sermon, the preacher, or the pastor. Now the number one thing people look for in church is unity and community. They want to belong. You know what helps you belong? By praising and getting unity together and building community. How do you belong? By praising God with us. How do you belong? By worshiping God with other believers. Verse number four, I sought the Lord. I'm almost done. I sought the Lord and he answered me. Praise God. How many of you want to be answered by God? He answered me and delivered me from all of my fears. Remember, it's not just a late CPS notice for $86. They're trying to kill David. And David says, you heard me when I cried and you delivered me from all of my fears. Your gratitude gives answers. In the middle of praise and worship service, God will impart something in your life that will change your entire trajectory. In a worship service, God will speak something to your spirit. Things that you've been wrestling with for months, now your gratitude has opened up the lines of communication between you and a God that wants to speak into your life. And so when your hands are raised and your mouth is opening, God's hand is extending and his mouth is opening. Let me say that again. In praise, when your hand is up and your mouth is open in praise, God's hand is outstretched and his mouth begins to open with things you need to hear, things that are going to build you, things that are going to encourage you, things that are going to break the strongholds off of your life. Said, you heard my cry and you answered. And next he said, you delivered me from all of my fears. Your gratitude brings deliverance. Simply put, your thank you could bring your breakthrough. Saying, God, I thank you for what you've brought me through. And God says, that gratitude, Brandon, is going to help you get through the next so that you can get to where I've called you to and what I've called you to do. Some of us, we want so-and-so to lay hands and pray for us, and we want so-and-so to come to our house, and we get these requests quite often. There's a demon at my house, and there's evil spirits at my house, and I need you to come and cast them out. And listen, I'm not saying that I will. I'm not saying that I won't, but my question always is, why don't you do it? Your praise is just as good as my praise. Your authority as a believer is just as strong. I don't have some senior authority. I have the authority that all of us as believers have. And so I'm here to tell you, when you walk in gratitude and you keep the praises going and the presence of God with you, you have deliverance at all times. Stand on your feet tonight. Gratitude is an amazing thing. Gives us the answers. Brings deliverance. Verse 5, those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. I love this, and I hope this helps someone tonight. Your gratitude frees you from condemnation. I'm so tired of hearing people who have lived with condemnation because some terrible preacher or pastor said something that made you embrace what you had done rather than embrace Jesus. I'm gonna say something powerful right now, and I haven't said this in a long time, and I haven't said it in connection with condemnation. But for those of you that believe in generational curses, that's condemnation. I'm here to tell you there is no such thing as a generational curse after Jesus Christ. For you to be saved and say, I've got a generational curse on my life, what you're saying is the blood of Jesus was not enough. But I have come to release you from that weight and say, if Jesus is in you, then a curse can't be on you. There is now no condemnation. When I sing of his goodness, I can't be condemned. When I worship about who he is, I cannot carry shame. Leave the shame at the altar. Let God do what he wants to do in your life. And there is no future if we're holding on to our past and the condemnation and the shame of the adversary. I see it all the time. You've got this spirit that you've been carrying through your family. No, you don't. You say, well, my dad was an alcoholic and I struggled with alcohol. That's called a pattern, not a curse.